On the next screen shows my biggest treasure when I was 12 years old. Okay, so at that time, the BlackBerry, which some of you might remember, but some of you might not yet, was the big craze, okay? It was the big fashion back then. And I really, really wanted one because everyone was like messaging each other. And I was just not in that because at that point I had a brick. And that means just, you know, six buttons kind of thing. So I was like, I really wanted one. And it came to 2012, Christmas. And it turns out I got one, which was amazing. And I even had that case. So the little penguin one, which I thought was really cool. But who knows? But it was going well. It was great messaging people on BBM. Some people might remember that. But what happened next was 2 months down the line, BlackBerries went bust. But also, everyone kind of was like, oh, BlackBerries aren't in anymore. It's now the iPhone. And I was like, that is very expensive. And it meant, actually, me wanting that phone so much, I thought it would fulfill me. Like, I would be able to be popular and, like, messaging loads of people. But turns out, 2 months down the line, it was out of fashion. And actually, that treasure that I thought was worth so much just disappeared in a matter of seconds. And was like, this is just faded away, not important anymore. And so our passage today will highlight what these earthly goods are, and just actually they do fade away, and that they will be destroyed, and just when we die, sounds really forward, actually they will fade away and get out of fashion. So we're going to be turning to, if people have their Bibles, if not, it's okay, it's going to come up on the screen, but Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24, okay. Okay, so from verse 19, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and destroy and just steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So in this passage straight away, you see that Jesus is given two alternatives. So to do with treasures, you either treasure earthly ones or heaven. And two bodily conditions, so light and darkness as well. So we're going to be looking further into this. And I have to say, these verses are really challenging for me and really highlighted where was my heart and what was I focusing on and what was my treasure. And also, where are my eyes focusing on? So actually, if it's challenging for you guys as well, that's okay. It's a really good time to just reflect as well. So I want to ask you the question is, where is your heart? I'm not talking about the physical position of it or location or who you've given it to in a relationship or anything else. I'm asking, where do you focus most of your thoughts, most of your energy, thinking and planning around? So just to be reflecting on this kind of question as we're going to go through the talk. And the other one, the other area we're kind of focusing on is, what do your eyes focus on? So I may not always be talking about what you're directly looking at, actually choosing to focus it on Jesus, but also at the same time, when you look at certain things in your actual visible sight, do you choose to see people as individuals who are created by God and see the glory in them? Or do you see them as an object, either in a lustful way or in a judging way? So kind of just looking at what we look at, does it glorify God in everything that we do? Great. So we're now going to move on to looking at the passages a little bit more deeper. So at that point, when Jesus was teaching this on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, the religious leaders were really important to challenge because at that point, these people had a lot of wealth. But with this wealth, they weren't using it right. They were using it to be greedy and not actually support people who actually might have been struggling. So in particular, I think Jesus wanted to challenge the Pharisees, and that was what the religious leaders were called at that time. And so 3 points I'd like to mention that Jesus is not saying. So he's not banning possessions in themselves. And scripture in particular says that it does not forbid private property, which in our case would be different things that we have. Okay? And also secondly, he doesn't forbid us for saving stuff for a rainy day. So in scriptures, it kind of highlights the praises for the ant who is storing up food for the summer, in the summer for the winter. So Jesus wants us to be wise and actually to look and actually help ourselves and provide for our need, but not to do it out of a hard-heartedness or a selfish way, but actually in a, I need this to be able to survive, I will choose what I need, and I'll be appropriate about it. And thirdly, I think Jesus wants us to enjoy what he's created. So actually, for example, having a pet, actually you're loving an animal, you are looking after it, and actually that's something that Jesus has created. So yeah. But I think there is one clear thing that Jesus is highlighting that he does forbid, and that is for his followers to selfishly accumulate stuff. So gathering stuff out of a selfish way. And also with this selfishness of gathering stuff, it can cause our hearts to be quite hard-hearted as well, which I don't know if it's actually a word, but I thought it sounded quite cool. So hard-heartedness we do not want. So for example, this might be if you had an amazing new gadget. It might be if you had that, but you were like, no one can touch it because it's so valuable to me. You're not willing to share it with anyone. That's kind of the hard-heartedness that can be caused if we're choosing to treasure something over Jesus and allowing and blessing people with it. And so we're looking at where do we invest our time and energy and effort when we look at our heart. So later on, we're going to have some time of reflection. And it's just when you're reflecting, it's looking at what do I choose to invest most of my time, energy, and effort on? And just seeing if God will reveal something to you. And in particular, I think God highlights in the scripture that seeking the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So I think there's a promise that actually if we as believers choose to trust in God, actually he will provide for our every need, and that we do not have to worry about what our next thing is going to be, what we're focusing our money on, or everything like that, but actually God knows what we need, and he will provide for us. And then moving on to looking at the cited part of the section. So looking at verse 22 and 23 in particular. So we all know that a sighted person normally walks in light. If we have our eyes open, we can normally see light objects and stuff like that. However, a blind person normally walks in darkness because the light can't come into their eye. So they just see darkness. However, it's that just small little intricate, I've said that right, little organ called the eye that does this all. It creates the difference between seeing light and seeing objects and not seeing them. And Jesus uses the heart and the eye a lot of the time and kind of looking at, is your heart in the right place or are your eyes sound and healthy? And if we are being honouring and actually choosing to preserve our eye for Christ alone, actually with that, we will live in light, but also that light will be able to be given out to others. So that might be if we know God's love, we're therefore able to show that love to others and other kind of things like kindness and stuff, which I think is really important. So what Jesus is saying, that if we, how we see is really important, and our ambitions, which is where we fix our eyes, affects our whole life. So if we're choosing to fix our eyes on Christ, then actually our whole life will be affected by that. However, if we're choosing it to focus it on other things, then actually that has another effect. So like blindness leads to darkness, actually selfish ambitions lead to a moral darkness, which is what Jesus is talking about. So if we are correctly adjusting our perspective, then we will live with purpose and drive. And in this kind of context, I'm meaning if we choose to focus our eyes on Jesus, we will then live with purpose and drive. However, if we are choosing to fix our eyes on materialism and unrealistic fantasies, then our loss of that sense of value, and we will live in darkness. So a little story, I think, to get you guys more focused again, would be my camera story. I had thought of this one a little while ago. Okay, so if you are, you have like quite an old, say, phone or camera, and you're taking photos, and to be honest, you're not very good at taking photos, so the photos aren't very good, but you're like, actually, if I get that amazing camera, then obviously all my problems will be solved. I'll be able to take great photos. However, when you get that new camera, you still could take quite bad photos because you're not skilled, you're not trained, and you just don't work on it. So actually it doesn't improve your capability. And actually you can see that actually even though I got that nice camera, it hasn't satisfied me because I still haven't improved. However, if you're using that camera to glorify God by taking little photos and actually seeing creation in it all, then actually we won't need to take great photos for us to be satisfied. But knowing what you're taking photos of will satisfy you because it's of God. Little story. But I'd like to go back to what these treasures mean and how incredible they are. So in Job, he says, so Job's a book in the Bible as well, he says, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return." So I think this highlights, actually, we come with nothing and we will leave with nothing. So these earthly goods just don't come with us at all. However, our treasures that are in heaven are eternal, because God promises this. So our treasures in heaven are incorruptible. They need no insurance cover or policy, which we need nowadays for lots of things. And actually, we don't need to be in, like people might think, we don't need to be in God's good books. We need to have actually chosen to follow Jesus. And with that process of asking for forgiveness and knowing our true identity in him, we then get to experience these treasures in heaven, which is amazing. So actually by focusing on these treasures that are from heaven rather than earthly, we don't allow barriers to be formed. We can then hear the call from Jesus on our lives and when he wants to speak to us personally, which I think is really important. And so the reason we can experience these treasures, also a little quote. So going back to that last part of the verse, which is said, so Bonhoeffer's quote is that the disciples always looks only to his master, never to Christ and the law, or Christ and religion, or Christ and the world, but only Christ. So I think there's an importance of that. Actually, when we are choosing to, where do we fix our eyes? We then can see that actually there's an importance that we only fix our eyes on Christ. and that with fixing our eyes on Christ, he will give us everything. Like, he will provide for our needs, and actually there's an importance in that. However, we can never look to Christ and the world. There's only one master as such. So the reason we can have this relationship and have these treasures is because of what Jesus did on that cross and how he sacrificed himself. He allowed us to have a relationship with the Father, and that way we're entitled to these treasures. And so he took on our condemnation. And what that means is he took on our sin, he took on our shame, he took on all of the things that we have done wrong in our lives. And he nailed them to the cross. And when he died, they died with him. And they were buried down forever, which I think is incredible. And obviously, he rose again because he had the power over sin and death. So there's no longer that hold on us, which is what Romans 8 talks about as well. And actually, because he wants to know us, once we choose to follow him and ask for forgiveness and actually want to put our trust and put him as the centre of our heart, we can then live satisfied and experiencing his love, which is really important. And so I guess the question I'm asking you is whether we will allow Jesus to be the focus of our heart and to remember what he's done and to have him as that focus. And even in Luke 22, this is a paraphrase, but God will swallow up death and provide an eternal and endless banquet for us. So I think this just shows that actually we don't need to worry about anything that we're going to be lacking, because we certainly won't be lacking anything when we reach heaven, but also while we're here. And so our next slide is a bit more interactive, I guess. I'd like us to listen to a little clip of this song, which most of you would have known about because it's quite a famous song by Bruno Mars. And I want us to just listen to it and imagine we're singing it about Jesus and actually how that makes us feel and everything like that. And just seeing him as our treasure. Brilliant. So I think actually listening to those words, even though we know what it's talking about, but I think looking at Jesus as, I want him to be my treasure, and actually one of your biggest wishes, controversial, but actually is just how Jesus is your focus. And just to remember those words, that my treasure is Jesus, and with that, actually, I get those heavenly treasures that come with. And so I kind of want to be vulnerable with you guys just for a moment. Well, always, but in particular sharing a bit of a struggle that I had with what I put as a focus for my heart and what was my treasure for quite a while, especially a big season of my life when I was, I would say, like, verging on 16 to 18, I would say. And one of the things that blinded me from placing Jesus at my heart, and that was focusing on wanting relationship and seeking love from being in a relationship. So I'm kind of thinking that probably quite a lot of you might relate to this, and this might be something that you're struggling with at the moment, but I'll just go through it with you. So in that time period, actually it was so exhausting, because forever seeking affection from someone else and wanting that, and actually really didn't satisfy me. And I'd even pray the prayer of, please, will you let someone love me so then I can be in a relationship and experience that? Because I would love that. I would love to get married, and that is something that's always going to be, but actually became such a hold of me that it was all I think about. And it took an experience of being in a relationship to realize it really doesn't satisfy. And actually, I should first be satisfied before I even enter a relationship. And the only way I could do that is by putting Jesus at the center of my heart, because he has the love that I need. No one else can be that love. And so it took that time to realize that truth. And with that is, allow me to stop worrying about the future and the future potential relationships that I might have, and not needing, and the truth of not needing to be in one was such a great one to know, that I didn't have to be in one to feel complete, and that I am complete with just knowing Jesus and having him in my life. So Jesus has been so kind in this, and I've learnt just his true love, and his will is just in has been shown in my life, and just it's been incredible to see. So just to be reflecting on this, and I wanted to highlight what the eternal treasures that we might experience from God. So I think the first one is our character. Actually, God will, when we choose to trust in him, he will change our character. He will just develop our skills and develop our spiritual gifts as well. He promises us with spiritual gifts, which is amazing. And these are eternal, which I think is incredible. Okay, so we're drawing to the end now. So three practical ways I'd love us to help us look at how do we focus our heart and fix our eyes on Jesus. And how do we actually just that process as well. So the first one, I think, is, yeah, just really important is that even if it's daily or if it's weekly or just now and then, just to be looking at your heart and asking Jesus to reveal in your heart where there's strongholds or things that are holding you, that are in your heart, that are holding you down and holding you from seeking Jesus and having him at the center. And I think this is what we're going to be doing later on as well. So just to get you started and just to not be afraid of doing that. And the second one is reflecting on Bible verses, which just focus our minds on just how almighty and worthy Jesus is of our praise. And so I highlighted one verse, so Isaiah 40, verse 28. So it goes like this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God. The Lord is the everlasting God. The creator of the end of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So I think this verse just reflects how great and marvelous God is. And just, we can just focus and be in awe of him. And I think that's what we need to reflect. Actually, he deserves to be the center of my heart because he is so glorious and so worthy of it. And the third one is when you have reflected on what you think is at the center of your heart, it's to then share those struggles with one another and to create a little accountability group or partnership to be able to gently challenge each other and allow each other to grow and not act like we can, let me think of a term, that actually we are able to make that change because we have accountability with that. And actually, you're not alone in what you're struggling with. Okay, so I'd love us to just spend the time of a song, actually, just reflecting, okay? And just being quiet and just doing this by yourself, okay? So three areas that I kind of highlighted that I'd love you guys to think of and just to look at what anything stands out to you and just reflecting on it, okay? So one of the areas is looking at what do you have as your treasures and what is in your heart, what is your treasure? And reflecting on that and seeing whether it is on heavenly treasures or whether there's something else that's stopping that from being the center of your heart. So just asking God to sift your heart and to reveal whether it's focused on him or not. And the next one I'd like people to look at is actually where are you fixing your eyes? And in particular, like I mentioned, relationships, whether you're choosing to put your eyes focusing on wanting that relationship that you'd always dreamed of, that people promote on TV and everything like that. And with that, I would also, people struggling with pornography as well, And actually, are we choosing to focus our eyes on seeing others as not just individuals but as objects? And actually, what are we choosing to feed ourselves and feed our body, and wherever it brings darkness? And the last one is just reflecting on, is Jesus actually, are you following Jesus and have chosen to follow him? And just processing that and looking at, is he actually the center of my heart? And have I let him in? So I'd love us now just to listen to some music and just have some time of reflection. Feel free to lie down or sit. I advise you just to close your eyes so you have no distractions. And that would be great.